Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today are selected verses from our Holy Gospel lesson, specifically verses 1 through 6 and verse 10, and I encourage you to follow along with me there from your bulletin insert. Our theme this morning, Jesus teaches humility. Please be seated. Dearest redeemed of Christ Jesus, there's no doubt about it, children are humble. Children, thanks be to God, have a wonderful gift of seeing the world in very simple ways. For instance, Grandma's cooking is always the very best. And even more importantly, Grandpa is the smartest man on earth because he married Grandma. I've heard that said before. Matter of fact, I've said that before. The problem is that children mature and grow up, they grow into adulthood, and they stop seeing the world in simple black and white. They begin adding different shades of gray, and their humbleness, because of sin, because of temptation of devil and the world, their humbleness melts away into arrogance. As children grow into adulthood, they begin to think more highly of themselves. They begin to turn to self. And because of self, they fail to become humble servants of God. Humble servants. 12 men. You would think that they would be humble servants of God. Why, they have been the chosen ones. The 12 who would follow their Savior and be taught by Him. But as you see there in verse 1, they truly don't sound very humble, do they? They must think that since Jesus has chosen them, they are the best of the best, the cream of the crop. So therefore their question there in verse 1. So Jesus gives them an answer. Jesus answers their arrogant question with His simple truth, with His divine truth. A truth that, dear friends, we must never overlook or we must never misunderstand. But first, Jesus does as any teacher will do. He gets their attention. He says, Amen, lego humen. Amen, I say to you. He's saying essentially, listen to me. You had better listen to me. And what he says is very important. If you are not converted and become as little children, no not shall you enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now the translation that I just read doesn't agree with your translation because the translation that I just read is directly from the original language, the Greek. Notice the word that Jesus uses for little children. It's a word in Greek that is paedion. Paedion means an infant up to a toddler. Thus, the example that we had, dear little Cooper, for our children's message. Cooper is a paedion. And not only is Cooper a paedion, because of your baptism, you too, whether you are 9 or 90, or somewhere in between, you too are a paedion, a child of God. Jesus uses a perfect example, doesn't he? That's because our Lord's teaching is always perfect. He takes a small child and he stands that child in front of these 12 chosen men. And in their arrogance, he humbles them by having a little child stand there. Now, it doesn't matter whether it's a boy or a girl, but we know that it's a small child, a paedion. It could have even been a small toddler. What a blow. What a blow to their arrogant egos. And what a blow to our ego. Sometimes we fail to humble ourselves. Sometimes we fail to become as little children in service to our Lord and in service to our neighbor. What does a little child bring to the table, as you have already heard? Little Cooper brings nothing to the table. He is totally dependent on mom and dad to change his diapers, to feed him, to do essentially everything for him. After that, there's really nothing else to do. Cooper has full trust and faith in mom and dad. That's the example of the child. And that's why Jesus uses the perfect example for you and for me today. The example of a child and how a child is to have that childlike faith in full trust and full confidence of their parent. Your full trust and your full confidence in your Father in heaven. Now Jesus gives a command. Yes, it's a command. It's no mere suggestion, so there's no possible misunderstanding. He commands that we need to turn. We need to turn to become like little children. And by turning, he means that we are to repent. He's telling the 12 that they are to turn. He's telling these arrogant 12 men, you must repent, repent, repent. Then the warning, if you do not repent in your arrogance, in of your smugness, and become faithful like a little child, you will never, ever enter into the kingdom of heaven. Dear ones, when it comes to our life before God, do you need to repent and turn back to simple childlike faith in your Savior, Jesus Christ? Last week you heard the importance of picking up your cross of suffering, your cross of unbearable pain at times, and yet as we pick up this cross, we are to follow Jesus. A disciple's life is very difficult. The 12 had forgot about their difficulties, but they were going to find out pretty soon. And Jesus is reminding them, and he's reminding you today that your life here on this earth is difficult as you bear your cross of suffering and of pain and of loss. You're beaten down by your sin. The evil of this world and of Satan is relentless. You are in the crosshairs, and Satan tries every trick that he knows to get you to turn from your childlike faith from Jesus and to follow him or to listen to the world. Yet in those times of your repentance, in those times of the confession of your sin, in those times of your trust and faith, you are a little one. You are a little one who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now we come to verse 5. And Jesus tells us the importance of receiving him in his name. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. If each of us would keep these words of our Lord constantly in our hearts and in our minds, our life and our fellowship together would be radically changed. We, his children, are warned not to place others or ourselves or things of this world over and above our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yet, we do it each and every day. We look to those things that will give us temporary peace or temporary comfort or temporary pleasure. We busy ourselves with our work. We work, 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 and work. And is there ever any pleasure in that? For some there may be, but it's not salvific work. We place our trust in those who are, by the world's appearances, those who are in the know, the rich and the famous, how can they save you when they themselves are condemned because they put all their trust in their money, in their material things, which will not save them? We, His children, we are in need of His help. We are in need of prayer. And we are in need of physical things. And Jesus tells us that our Father in heaven knows this. And therefore, He does open His hand and He provides for us. And He also tells us that we are to honor our neighbor. We are to honor the helpless that are in our midst. We are to honor the child in the womb. We are to honor the disabled. We are to honor the aged. And yes, we are to honor the weak. We are to care for them, not only in material goods, but we are to pray for them. Pray that the Lord will have mercy. As we pray that the Lord will have mercy on those who are in the crosshairs of a huge storm in Florida. We even have some friends of ours and a former member of our congregation living there. We ask that you keep them in your prayers. Yet we know that God embraces them. We know that God embraces you. And as He embraces us, we also embrace them. And in embracing them, we are receiving Jesus our Lord. We are extending His kingdom and continuing the work that He has begun in each and every one of us. Thanks be to Jesus. You see, dear ones, Jesus is radically redirecting and reshaping His disciples. He's reshaping and redirecting their thinking then and today. As part of His teaching is also a very dire warning. You see it there in verse 6, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in Me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. An arrogant attitude will lead one to disregard Jesus and His word and His children. This may lead another little one to stumble, to fall into gross sin and shame. Woe to the one who does such a shameful thing to his dear child. So Jesus announces a terrifying result for the arrogant, for the smugness, for those who turn away from Jesus and lead others away from Him. It will be better for you to be drowned in the sea, having a donkey millstone. That's actually the right translation. It's a donkey millstone, a millstone that is pulled by a donkey. Therefore, it is so heavy that when it's tied around one's neck and they are cast by execution into the sea, they will definitely go to the bottom, and there they will stay. And finally, Jesus closes by announcing to us, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always see the face of My Father who is in heaven." Jesus is telling us, God the Father's heart, your Father's heart, is open to all those who are in need, who are unable to provide for themselves. His heart is always open to all of His children. To be sure, profoundly, every disciple, every member of Zion is a little one. You are His dear little patium, as you have heard that happened at your baptism. You and I are poor in spirit and equally in need of all the richness of His blessing. So as we now finish, Jesus teaches us today, His little ones, that we are to not despise His children. even though they may be despised by the world and by disciples who think that they are God's children, by those false teachers of the world who direct you away from Jesus and to the things of this world. He reminds us that there are angels in heaven who are constantly standing before the Father. Now, they aren't necessarily interceding for your children or for you, for we have the great intercessor standing there at the right hand of God, Jesus himself. But Jesus is telling us that there are angels who stand before the Father and they sing his praises because of what he has done for his children. Just as he treasures and values each of you, he's also sent his treasure possession, Jesus himself, his only begotten Son, to die for all of your sin upon his cross. Dear ones, he's even died for your sin of arrogance. And in his death, he has defeated death for you. Therefore, by the shedding of his most holy and precious blood, all of your sin is washed away. You have been cleansed. You have been claimed as his dear children. And because you are his patrimony, he announces to you today that all of your sin, each and every one of your sins, is forgiven. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.